I said appreciate
being here this evening.
And I appreciate that I learned the love of Jesus. As we've said before, even when we was little, we could stand up, sing as these little ones did, and feel good about singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and it just was okay. And it needs to be. But I realized one day when the Spirit came and spoke to my soul, Jeff, that Jesus loved me. And it was a different feel of the love of Jesus. And I'm glad, because I just be honest with you, I don't hardly ever feel like we got much. But we were singing that song, "Is Not This the Land of Beulah?" And that second verse in it, a lot of times really I relate to that, where it talks about being hindered, about the ghost of the past and the failures and the broken vows. You know, Daniel, when I look around and I look at my life as a whole, I'm here to tell you that none of y'all really hindered me. Now, don't get me wrong. We can do things to help people not to get hindered. But we allow ourselves to be hindered along the way. A lot of times we get our eyesight on things and on people. And just like I've told them even in the men's Sunday school class, I said, there's people that say, whenever I get to heaven, I've got a lot of questions for God. And I tell them this, I said, if you make it to heaven, you will not have a question at all. The soul that's on the inside that's truly born again does not have any questions, because he's done got the answer. Our minds, and I still fall prey to it a lot of times, because I start wondering. And whenever we do start out doing something other than for the Lord, or even standing up here to deliver a message, a lot of times this man would like to know just how it panned out. Well, if we know that, we wouldn't be living by faith. And he said that the just live by faith. But we're just going to read in a couple places tonight. We're going to read in Isaiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 2, and then we're going to read the verse out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. That's Isaiah 5, Jeremiah 2, and then we'll go to Second Chronicles. Now, I hinder my own self sometimes because I feel like I'm just talking. But at the end of the day, that's who I am. I'll be honest with you, Daniel. Would I like to be able to run back and forth and with the Spirit involved in it? Yes, I would. But for many years, that's what I hindered myself by, wondering, why ain't I like that? I ain't saying I ain't never been like it, but for the most part, Lord, give me what He's given me. And I'm just going to try to give you as it comes to me here. So Isaiah chapter 5. Verses 13 and 14 says, "Therefore, my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled?" Then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Probably one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. But we're going to read it anyway. And that just might be all that we'll do. But it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, what we had just on our mind, like I said, it probably ain't much, but it's all I got. In each and every one of these areas, there was two words that was most common in it. And it said, "My people." My people. We want to talk about how bad the world is, the things that's going on in the world. Well, I'm here to tell you the world is acting exactly how the world is. But we read in this scripture that my people is a separated people, and we need to act like we separated. You see, this scripture here in Isaiah, yes, it read, I'm going to just read it again, it said, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." You see, people say this, it says, if you just have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, it'll be okay. And it will, and that's okay. But you know what? God does not want that grain of mustard seed to stay a grain. He wants that grain of mustard seed to grow, because it talks in the Bible that when it grows, that it's big enough that even birds can sit in it. In other words, something is profitable by the faith that we have. And we are responsible to use our faith. If you are in the category of my people, you have a responsibility to the world. You say, "They ain't my responsibility." Well, over there, Jesus just telling that one, said, "We must love our neighbors as ourselves." Guess who your neighbor is? It's the one beside you. I understand this right here, this right, but it's the world way I look at it. I'm just going to tell you, because they ain't in with us. So we have a responsibility to live our Christian life according to the way the Scripture says it, to help the world get what they need. Now, you say, "But I come to church all the time." According to this Scripture right here, they perish because you have no knowledge. Sunday school's great. I love it. But you know what? When you learn at home, you get your word down and you read. That's where your knowledge comes from. You know what? The school was good because I went there and I was sectioned off at a place to where I could learn. But there was a lot of that learning come from home. Now, I wasn't real big on homework, Jeff. I'm just going to tell you. My homework that I didn't do just barely helped me scrape by. Me and Pam, we had some classes together. She's two grades ahead of me. Now, I'm going to tell you, she was right on the dot. She was the homework. She did it. She stayed there. Now, me and her, we would do a test. She'd make a 96 or 98, and I'd make a 96. But you know what, Daniel? When it come report card time, I'm sure glad 60 was passing whenever I was in there. And I had a 65. She's still up in the 90s. Why? Because she did her homework. I had to have that 96 to pass. Now, I'm going to say this. Rachel said it one time. She brought home a report card and it had a 70 on it. It was passing then. She said, but I'm passing. I said, well, this is mid-quarter. I said, if you fail a test, where is that going to put you? Under 70. I said, that's why you have to do all you can do to get it built up, because there's going to come a time where you're going to fail. Our Christian life is in the same way. You cannot just go to the borderline and think it's just going to be okay all the time. Because I'm going to tell you from experience, there's going to be some days where you're going to feel like, I just ain't going to make it today. And I'm going to need a 96 day somewhere down the line to help keep me above it. That's where the knowledge comes in. He says, this is, matter of fact, there's another scripture where it says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You say, if I'm his people, then I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you this, we have a responsibility. People do not like talking about being responsible. But we are responsible. The Bible says, to him is given much, much is expected. You know what a lot of people says, Jeff, then? I ain't going to get in the Word then. Because if I don't learn a whole lot, but I'm going to ask you a question. Are they anything greater than salvation? Okay. Then you done got the greatest. So guess what? There's much required of you. You may not be required the hunter's part, the 60 part, 30 part, but you're still required to have a 100% part of what you're supposed to be doing. And how you going to know what to do if you ain't got it in you? I'm going to tell you this. Whenever I got saved, Daniel, he just didn't pour it into me like a bottle of water and say, you got it. He's expected something out of me. He's expecting it out of us. And I'm going to tell you this. The majority of the world is expecting it out of you. I know this. I love telling my testimonies. I'm just telling you. You know why? Because I know God was involved with it. I went to the Army. I've done said this. Y'all can probably repeat it quicker than I can. Got stationed in there. Man came up to my barracks. I wasn't even there a week. Word done ready, got around. He goes to church. I didn't know all that till he come knocked on my door. He said, I heard you go to church. I said, yes. He said, well, I'll come by Sunday and I'll pick you up and we'll go to church. I said, all right then. He comes by, he picks me up, he takes me to church. He don't even get out of his truck. I said, you ain't coming in? He said, no, I ain't coming in. He said, but I'll come back and pick you up. Next Sunday, he picked me up, took me to church. He come back and picked me up. About a month and a half goes by. Sunday morning, he picks me up. He comes by and picks me up. But then as one night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear, I need some help. You see, everybody in the world don't want you to fail. Because they know that we've got the only thing that they can rely on, and they're going to need somebody. You know, salvation, now, I was the only one that could say yes for Bruce, don't get me wrong. But I'm persuaded to believe, Brother Steve, that my daddy and my mom and my grandparents and the church prayed for me until that day comes. I believe they're still praying for me, don't get me wrong. But I believe that they prayed just like I did mine. I said, Lord, one of these days, when the Spirit comes to them, I want them to recognize that it's you. Rachel come up to the altar, and I just came right here. And you know what? I did not pray a prayer. People might say, that's pretty bad. You're not even praying for your daughter. The Lord had already answered my prayer because he sent the Spirit. There's nothing else I could do, Daniel, except just be there. Sabrina came up. I did not say a word. Didn't even pray for her. The Lord said, just touch her on her back and let her know somebody's here is all. Because you know what? I couldn't pray no more. It was answered. But I had a responsibility to keep bringing them. You see, that's what we do. The Lord's going to take care of it, so I just depart and I go do what I want to. It don't work that way. We have a responsibility. When I pray a prayer, I've got a responsibility to that prayer. I've got to keep watering that thing. I got to keep a mounding up, some dirt maybe on it. Got to dig out a few weeds every once in a while around it. You say, how'd I do that? You keep bringing them here. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you don't bring them here and you don't get them involved in church and you don't get them into church, the world's going to get them and then you are just going to hurt. You say, that didn't really make sense. Well, it does. Why do you think Susan Whitney keeps asking prayer for Will? Why do you think I keep asking prayer? It hurts. We have a responsibility as his people to keep ourselves out of the world. Now, like I said, people don't like responsibility. They don't like saying that there's requirements, but they are. We've heard this from when we was little up to now. It takes more than just signing of a card. I've heard people say, we make it too hard. I don't think we make it too hard. I'm just going to be here out with you. I've never heard a man stand up here and tell you what you got to cut off and do. But I have heard him preach this. You must come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's exactly what I've heard him preaching this way. And that's what it took for me. It's what it took for our elders. And that's what it's going to take for anybody that comes up here or anywhere you might be that the Spirit deals with you. And that's what it's going to take is a Spirit dealing. And I'm glad that even after I got born again, I'm not glad that I strayed, but I'm glad that voice still came and my heart broke. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a boy one time told LC when we was working nowhere, he said, I don't want to come to the Lord because I'm afraid of him. I want to come to him because I love him. And LC said, well, you won't come to him then. He said, not like that in that frame of mind. He said, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to take you going to be broke. I was. And each and every testimony that we've heard, everybody talks about, it broke me. But he said, my people. Because there's a word right here when you, he said, therefore, about the thirst and the knowledge. But in that next verse, it says, therefore. You say, what does that mean? That means it put responsibility on the verse before that of what's happening in the verse that's coming. Because it says, hell's enlarged its mouth. There are several things because of us. Now, I won't tell you this again. When I say us, church, or whatever, Bruce Owens is included in it. I'm not sitting here pointing a finger at nobody. But I did think yesterday, and Brother Kraft, and I just tell you the truth about it. I thought, Clinton Lunsford, I don't know why, but we speak of him more so about preaching against sin. And we'll talk about him and we'll praise him for it. But you still let another man get up here today and preach them same words against the sins. He gets poked in the chest. Tells him he don't know what he's talking about. How dare you? But I'm going to tell you this. What was sin then, Daniel, is sin today. What he told us to stay out of whenever he was right here. He was writing it to his people of that day right here. But I'm going to tell you what. He's still writing it today to us right here. Because everything in here, I understand it had a past, but it also has a future and a present to go right along with it. You know what? That's what makes this word alive. It is alive being. You say, it's just words. No, it ain't. And I'm going to tell you what why it takes us for the world. Because the world cannot understand this. They have got a world full of Bible scholars, but they missed the point in here when it said it is spiritually written. Therefore, I don't know if it says therefore, but it says it must be spiritually discerned. And if a man is lost without God, he has no way to discern the Spirit. And that's why it is so necessary for us as His people to get into the discerning of the Spirit, because I'm going to tell you, Jeff, it makes a difference. We all want to do better, just like what that one song or somebody was saying. We'd like to do better. And I'll be honest, we've been in some tired down services, and I tell myself, when I get home, I'm getting in that Word, I'm going to do this. And you're fired up, and you mean it. You mean it at that moment in time. But 15 miles to the house, I'm just going to sit here just for a minute and relax, or I'll turn the TV on, and then I forgot about what I was even going to do. You know, and I'm sure I'm the only one that's done that. But I tell you, I appreciate the Lord. But He's wrote more about His people and what we, as a matter of fact, this is what it's about. There's a few verses in there about a man and he must be born again. They ain't taking none that away. But everything else in here is about us and how we need to do, how we need to live, and how we just really need to let Him have His way in our life. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I kind of looked it up, be honest with you. It's pretty important when it's my people is in there about 240 times. He's trying to get something across to you or to us about what He really is looking out for us. But we appreciate being here today, tonight. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say or do, feel free. Before we go farther in the service, if not, let me change this out. I'll get that, because tonight is our conference night. It don't matter. We'll do it. Anybody got anything before we go any farther?
Maybe they're trying to.